You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG. Make some noise!
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby! It's Friday.
Whoa, okay, we got that Friday energy.
Friday.
Is that a meal? You got to fry some yay?
I feel like that's something like Woo Girls would say. It's Friday.
Okay, Rebecca Black had that great song.
Friday. Guys.
Everybody cooks on Friday. Yeah.
Miguel Ibarra on Friday.
We're excited to have you listening to the show.
On a Friday,
because you are listening to your favorite stand-up comedians do a soccer podcast.
Yeah, you already know who we is,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It's a funny soccer podcast you've ever listened to.
Absolutely.
And it's also what, Alexis?
It's the goddamn gulliest.
That's
soccer
right.
Podcast. Speaking of Gully, Gully Squad made this episode possible.
Exactly. So thank you for the Gully Squad for all the support, because none of this happens without you guys. We won't be able to go on trips like this to interview these players.
We won't be able to bring you this intimate content if it wasn't for Gully Squad members. And you know what? We've been seeing a lot of reviews on the iTunes of people saying like, hey, I've been listening for a long time and you guys keep saying leave a review and I haven't left a review. And that scares me. That makes me think there's people listening right now that want to be part of Gully Squad, but have yet to go ahead and go on our website and click that button.
Oh, sure. I mean, what are you afraid of?
I'm afraid that they're just sitting back being lazy. You need to be a part of Gully Squad. This is the reason
you are afraid someone else will be lazy.
Right, because I'm the one supposed to be lazy. You're okay. Appropriating my culture.
Yeah, it's, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, please. And what I say is for you to go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad or just go to soccercooligans.com. And click on Join Gully Squad. Yo, and Join Gully Squad. I mean, what you going to do? Exactly. Not Join Gully Squad?
No, it'd be a terrible mistake.
Wow, what kind of option is that?
Really, there's no graver mistake that one can make in their lives.
None whatsoever.
So this show is our interview with Jeff Reuter of the Athletic, who covers mostly Minnesota soccer.
Shouts to him. By the way, this was recorded just before the announcement that he was going full time.
That's right.
So you'll hear a question about the Athletic and then he kind of sidestep a little bit. But shouts to him full time, along with some of the biggest friends of the show, Matt Pence, Pablo Maurer, a bunch of people.
Yeah.
They're all going full time. Shouts to the Athletic. Shouts to these guys. I mean, this is, a lot of these guys have been doing like part time jobs, full time jobs on the side, just trying to make ends meet so they could go ahead and give you the best possible content. And now they're getting the opportunity to just do that full time.
Exactly.
So which you'll give us that opportunity if you join Gully Squad.
We would love to do this full time as well. So the interview with Jeff Reuter and Miguel Ibarra of Minnesota United. Incredible.
Shouts to True North Elite. Shouts to Dark Cloud. Shouts to Talisman. Shouts to Dustin and Bethany for letting us use their space. Just letting us be a part of their home. This is their home. And they let us be a part of it.
Exactly.
And that means the absolute world to us. And shouts to Eric Durkee and everyone over in Minnesota United that went ahead and helped us get Miguel Ibarra to this event.
Yeah, they could have easily said, no, who are you? What do you want? So
which is what many teams have said. And they refused to. And this was a big week for them. They just opened the new stadium. They were being pulled in many directions. And they went ahead and got us, the opportunity to speak to Miguel Ibarra. When we were at ISC, we said to some of the folks from Dark Clouds and True North Elite, hey, we're thinking of interviewing a player. We might come out. We might do this stuff in Minnesota. If we were, who would we? And the first name that came out of their mouth was Miguel Ibarra. And
hometown hero, one of those guy people.
And a legend in Minnesota soccer now. And, Eric Durkee helped make that happen. So thank you so much. Thank you to everyone at Minnesota United for believing in us. Thank you so much for, Talisman for letting us completely take over your space. It's just the best. And thanks to, Elvis over at On the Volley for helping out, Joe Chadwick for helping out, everybody.
Yeah, it was a lot of people helped make this stuff happen. It is very much the Cooligans don't get this, we don't have have this golden ticket to just get access to people. It is very, very much a, you know, we reach out and then people are like, excuse me, who, what do you want exactly? Yeah. And then
you are what?
We very much have to earn people's trust. And the fact that they let us do that means the world to us. So so that's it. I mean, this is a really, really fun and very unique experience that we got to have with Jeff Reuter and Miguel Ibarra. But if you are a fan of Minnesota United, if you're a fan of Minnesota soccer, this is you're in the right place because you're gonna have a fun sort of take on everything that sort of goes on with Minnesota soccer. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you came to the show, join Gully Squad as well, and we'll be able to do this at other cities. You know how much you enjoyed this. Let us go to other cities and do this as well. So thanks so much. Shouts to all you folks that are part of Gully Squad and all you folks that will be joining Gully Squad after this.
Yes, thank you so much. All right, so let's get right to it. This is our interviews with Jeff Reuter and Miguel Ibarra.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, let's get a round of applause going just so we feel present.
This is for you guys as well.
This is for you.
Also, round of applause for Dustin and Bethany for letting us do this in their store.
Thank you so much.
So cool. They didn't want to tell you this, but they actually said as soon as the event's over, it's 75% off anything in the store. So cool. That's wow. So cool. I mean, yeah, use code Men in Blazers for that. So.
Okay.
I'm already throwing shades. You know what I mean? That's what we do from the moment we start.
Welcome to our first ever Cooligans event / Talisman collab with Miguel Ibarra, everybody. This is crazy.
This is... We got professional players that are coming to hang out with us.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen often.
We usually only get amateur players.
Yeah, yeah. When we're like, send us somebody, they're like, here's the fifth string goalkeeper. And they're like, why you got fifth string, though?
Seems like you're wasting your funds.
I know. You know? I feel like you're using up a lot of TAM.
Hello. So does anyone here not know who we are?
Clap your hands. It's fine.
Okay. Corey, you...
He's seen us perform. So, you know what, though? I don't know who I am sometimes, so it makes sense.
Yeah, it's a much deeper question.
Yeah, we're all going to look in the mirror later and share.
So just in case, we are stand-up comedians from New York. We've been doing this podcast called The Cooligans for 3 years. It's been great. We've got to travel around the country doing similar things like this. And it's an absolute honor to be here on the day after the opening of Allianz Field.
That's right. And we're unabashedly NYCFC fans, so it was great that that wasn't a loss. We don't have to sit here and take a bunch of shade from you guys. But it's also great that it wasn't a win, right? And to some degree, I mean, just no one showed up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it worked out for everybody, you know?
I feel like we're all, like, genuinely disappointed, right?
Yeah. So it's
just like, we get to share that with each other.
Yeah, it's cool.
So also, not only are we doing this show, but we're also, it's the announcement of the first Cooligans Talisman hat.
It's the first cap. It's our first cap we've ever done, which is really cool.
Yeah.
This is a logo we made. Some of our day ones may notice it. It was a step and repeat we made for a series called FIFA the News, which was just too hard for us to edit, so we stopped doing it. But we would play FIFA against each other against a green screen, and then we would animate whatever it was we were talking. What we were talking about was the news. And I would make Christian read me the news while we played FIFA because he's better than me. And he still beat me almost every time.
Pretty much.
The only times I won it was like when it went to penalties and I would kick him. You know what I mean? Like it was real. Nobody wanted to watch me just take a bunch of L's every week. I think everyone loved it, but I stopped editing.
And yes, and on the back of the hat, it says, stay gully.
Which is real dope.
Which is dope. And it's, I can't believe this is actually on a hat. This is basically like, you know, what criminals say to each other.
They used to be, but we changed it. We gentrified the word is what we did. It took two Latinos to gentrify a word. It used to be the term for, like, the dude that was the toughest in the room or the person who spoke their mind regardless of, like, what it meant. And for us, when we realized that we were going to do a podcast specifically for American soccer fans, one of the things we noticed is, like, as American soccer fans, we take heat from Americans that aren't soccer fans. We take heat from Americans that aren't American soccer fans. We take heat from European soccer fans. We take heat from everybody except ourselves. And we were like, you know what? We're tired of being nice about it. We're not going to be Minnesota about it, okay? You know what I mean? We started clapping back at anybody who said anything about American soccer. And it was just our way of saying, like, nah, we're here now. You know what I mean? And if we're not, we're going to be funny, but we're also going to be the gulliest. Like, we're just going to say exactly how we feel. And we're not going to, you can make fun of us as long as it's funny. But if it's corny and it's something that's been said before, we're going to call it out. And that's kind of just the tone of our podcast. And Gully became our thing. We got a shirt that says Gulliest.
Yeah.
We gave one to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez when we met her, which that's was right. so dope. I was like, yo, you're the gulliest congresswoman. She's like, I am. And I was like, yeah. I was like, here we are.
Maxine Waters might disagree.
She is pretty wild gully, actually. We need to get one in her hands as well. And it was just our way of saying, like we're going to bring a little bit of our culture. I'm born and raised in Newark. He's born and raised in Brooklyn. We're both Latinos. Like, you know, when I started watching American soccer, the people like us weren't involved a lot. People who spoke like we do weren't involved. So we decided to do it, and here we are. And we found our way to St. Paul.
Crazy. Yeah. It was a weird story when we did. We were coming back from where, Dallas, I think, or Chicago, when we were coming back from some event, and then so we bumped into Ocasio-Cortez in the airport, and then we did take the photo, and I've been telling the story. It was fun. It was a great experience. She's one of the nicest human beings you're ever gonna meet. When we started talking to her, she started talking to us like we hadn't seen her since high school.
Yeah,
right?
She talked to us.
We've
like,
never met her before.
She to was the just, point where I was like, wait, who knows her? Me or you? Do I know her?
She was like, oh, Alexis Christian.
Yeah, how you been? How the numbers on the show? Yeah, it was very weird the way she spoke to us. Like, how are you? And I'm like, is there someone she knows behind me? You know?
So we took the photo, and that was awesome. And then like a lot of soccer fans were like, and that's why soccer fans are like different, pretty cool people. Everybody was like, this is awesome that you got a photo with her. But then she retweeted the photo, and she has like 3 million followers, right?
Yeah,
and
just like at least like 10, 20% more than us. significant.
But so we got all a bunch of positive comments. Then she retweeted it, and then it was like all the Russian MAGA bots.
Yeah, and some Texan MAGA bots. weren't all Russian.
Some very domestic MAGA bots. But it changed the whole demeanor of like of the excitement, because I was like excited about taking a photo with her, and then it was just like, well, how much can I be really called a socialist before I start to cry? You know?
Also, we didn't realize that. So we were waiting. Christian's girlfriend was late to pick us up, and I didn't know this, but I got in the car and I was in the middle of a domestic argument because apparently Christian has a little crush on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that his girlfriend knows about.
I like her a little
bit.
And
when I got in the car, I was like, "We just met Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez." His girlfriend was like, "Oh, really?" I was like, well, that wasn't the tone I was expecting at all. I sat in the back seat just holding on to my luggage. She was like, well, was she nice? And Christian's like, not that nice. You know, it was just a regular hello. You know? I was like, it was super awkward.
Yeah.
I grew up without a father, so I never knew what that argument was like. You know what I mean? I was not a fan.
Okay. There's a child in here. Don't depress him that quickly. But yeah, that was an incredible moment. And look, it wouldn't have happened if we didn't have soccer in our lives.
That's
right?
True. And it wouldn't happen if we didn't pick the earliest, dumbest flight because we couldn't afford anything else. So thank you, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
So yesterday we were at Allianz Field to watch the game. How'd you guys feel about it?
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about having your own damn stadium?
Yeah. So there's like two or three NYCFC fans here who are like, real cool. Yeah. Oh, you got your own stadium. That's how we do it out here?
La-dee-da.
Yeah, well, no smelly subways in your own stadium. Okay. But who got chopped cheeses? Us, okay? It's a sandwich. So it all evens out. Yeah.
No, it was great. Like, we were we were in the press box, right? And so we were pretty near the...
We were all over. We were in do you guys call it the wall? I don't know what you guys call it.
The Wonder Wall.
Wonder Wall. We were in the Wonder Wall. Very cool. A song I first heard about when Jay-Z sang it. I'm not making that up.
He's not very caught up.
I was like, what are these city fans singing? I don't understand it.
I just introduced him to Nirvana. He loves it.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I think that guy's going to have a long career. Sorry. I felt like it wasn't too soon. You know what I mean? I felt like it's been a while, you know?
But it was incredible. One thing I got to give you guys credit. I don't know how much you guys could tell being in the Wonderwall itself, but you guys were insanely loud. It was really, really impressive.
The stadium is impressive. I think also the just the sound, no matter where it was we went, even in the beer hall section, which was like packed, people trying to buy alcohol, you can hear you guys chanting even from there. And it felt like it was designed by you guys. You know what I mean? It felt like you guys had a strong say in how it was all put together, which is, you know, I just honestly, I don't know why you miss some things. Like, I didn't see a pitcher's mound anywhere. You know what I mean?
Really? Yeah.
How
really
could you call yourself a professional soccer stadium?
Really missing the essentials to enjoy the soccer experience.
Yeah. Yeah, come on now. You can't even slide home when you score. So it's a cool amateur stadium, I guess. No, it was beautiful. And I think I saw the United on the outside. That has the names of, what, the original season ticket holders, I guess?
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's dope. I might have scratched in my name in there. it was really cool.
We have a fun afternoon planned, and we're excited that you're here. So
yeah, we try to make it as Minnesota as possible. So we got two guys to help us out, one of which you cheer for. And the other one you probably send angry emails to when they write an article you don't like or something. we're going to get started. But first, we want to bring up great dude. Offered to come out and hang out with us. And while he came, we were like, dude, let's talk to you while you're here. Put your hands together for the one and the only Jeff Reuter, everybody.
Jeff Reuter. Of The Athletic. Little. Reuter.
Reuter.
You can have a seat.
Close. Yeah. But you stand up.
No, don't worry about it. Yeah, wait. This is a little bit more comfy.
I feel way better. All right.
I know it's rude. It's Reuter. It has to be Reuter.
You're right.
Okay. Alexis, I shouldn't have let him announce you.
Can I tell you something? Even if you would have told me it was Reuter, I would have said Reuter. It's just the way my brain works.
You're like every other podcast I've been on until I die.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, it's that famous news thing. I don't know what it is. It's Thomas Reuter.
It's called Reuters, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
they
you're
messed
right.
you up. I feel like you should just change your name at this point. You know what I mean?
Sure. Smith. Good.
There you go. I meant like just use Reuter, but okay, you could go Smith. You're like, no one gets my government. I like
that's
that.
That's right, yeah.
Very
that's
cool.
That's how much we know Alexis Reese. He's like, the famous news thing.
I don't know what it is. You know, when I thought of Thomas Reuter, I thought of the building in New York. I was like, they do something with the news stuff.
Is that like by your favorite like deli or whatever?
No, it's trash. It's Times Square. Good. Pretty good taco spot in Times Square now, though, if anybody needs the reference, if you're going there. But you are Minnesota, born and raised in Minnesota?
Born and raised.
So how does it feel coming from, and we can ask anybody this, and we've asked a couple people. It's a very generic question. But
well, let's just ask anybody this.
Yeah. You. How does it feel? how does it feel just, you know, someone who's writing about soccer, following soccer, to now have, I mean, there's nothing left. You have a top flight team, a professional stadium. That's it. Now you have everything that you've always wanted to write for. How does that feel to have
that? I mean, a title would be good.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean,
no,
you want
I mean,
a parade.
Like, for real, though, this is the fifth season I've covered this team, going back to the NASL era. This is the first time it's been a great team, or a good team. Let's just start with good. Yeah. No, just baby steps. Optimism is not Minnesota's forte.
Clearly
ever,
not.
Ever.
No. This is the exact opposite of me. This whole city, this whole town.
Welcome to Minnesota, the opposite of you. That's actually the slogan. Yeah. Like, if you look at, like, the flag, that's
I'm
what it says.
I'm just, like,
right
overly there. Confident, fat, loud. You guys are just like, we're going to be cool. We're going to say we're going to do 10 and say we did 8. You know?
That's,
and I'm like, man, how about I do 0 and tell everyone I did his 10? That's how I work.
No, it's crazy. I mean, honestly, it doesn't feel like it's real yet. Like, I'm waiting to just, like, step up and suddenly I'm going back and I'm driving out to the Metrodome and I'm like, all right, well, here we go again. It's really cool, though. Honestly, like, it's the support that I saw yesterday. I'm up in the press box as well eating cheese with you. And it was amazing, honestly. Like, that Wonderwall display, the TIFO, the...
With the eject button.
Which I thought was planned, actually. I thought they were just like, there's a certain point where it's like,
wouldn't it be cool if we murdered people with our TIFO?
Yeah,
it's
opening day,
Minnesota
baby.
Minnesota special. Yeah, no, Minnesota nice ends when there's a TIFO hanging in front of you. Like, you have anvils and pianos out of New York windows, whatever. We have TIFO right above everyone. Yeah.
By the way, we were up in the press box. There was a security guard who knows nothing about soccer up there. And he spoke into like the thing in his side. He's like, "Yeah, the banner fell. I told him not to do the stupid banner." I was like, this guy knows nothing about soccer.
That's actually Manny Lagos. So
nice.
You know, I got to give you some credit because you were...
You don't have to.
You were in
no,
that...
No, Reuter, we're gonna.
Thank you, buddy.
In that press box, you were undoubtedly the most well-dressed person in there. You were freaking sharp as hell. You had, like, the incredible... You had a suit. It felt like, all right, nobody else is going to take opening day seriously. He was in a hoodie.
I was in a hoodie. My nicest hoodie.
But it did seem like very much you. It was very, this day was very important to you.
The saddest thing is people told me the same thing after the MLS Super Draft. So
You dress for the event you want, not the
which
event
is
you're
dumb.
At.
Like, and the super draft doesn't matter.
No.
So I guess the opening didn't
unless
matter.
You're Cincinnati.
And then that was your one work day of the month. And Ernst Tanner's just like, work harder.
Yeah.
And that was my favorite day of
we'll
the season, by
all.
The way. Yeah, like, well, I'll give you $250,000 if you go away. All right. Yeah, that's great.
You've seen this team develop over the years. It, you know, they say there's no such thing as a long plan in
3 years
MLS.
Most.
Yeah. But there's no such thing as a long plan in MLS, right? You gotta, it's parity. You could change the team every year. We're hearing it now because especially Almeida over in San Jose. What do you think is the plan? Because from someone watching Minnesota soccer from the outside, I'm like, I don't think they've even covered defending because they're hoping to just score like crazy. And then they go and get Ozzie Alonso and they're like, all right, well, then you do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is the plan? I know that someone who plays for the team is listening.
Yeah, no. Nobody is. Except for Miguel. Yeah. Who won't tell anyone about any of this, right, buddy? No, it's what's the plan? Gosh.
For you, like, what do you see? Like,
okay,
what is it?
This is way easier.
There we go. Yeah. What, right. What do you see and what do you hope continues to develop?
I think overall it took them a while to realize that scouting matters. I think it actually what took them the longest was you have to find an identity in MLS these days between are you going to be a domestic facing organization or are you going to be willing to look and spend more abroad? And so you're looking at teams like Philadelphia, RSL, they're like Red Bulls, I would say as well. They don't want to spend nearly as much on transfer fees. They don't want to put $18 million on a 19-year-old from Argentina. That's just not what they're going to do. So what they're going to do instead is invest in their academies, and you have a bunch of homegrowns. You have 11 players in a match between two MLS teams who were from academies. That's absurd, and that's awesome, and that's what it should be. But I think for Minnesota, they had to figure out which way do we want to trend towards more. The academy started late. They didn't have one until just at the tail end of their first MLS season. And now they've been spending more. They spent over $1 million on Angelo Rodriguez. They spent over $1 million on Jan Gregorius. And they're starting to trend more in that way. They got a multi-million dollar player for $250,000 in Darwin Quintero.
Right.
So they're much more willing to put that effort into their international scouting. So I think that the plan is actually, fans are going to hate to hear this, but I think this is actually like the real start of the 3-year plan.
Okay.
That they've been talking about for a long time.
That's what I do with diets. No, I'm starting it now. Right, as soon as this burger gets taken, as soon as I eat this burger.
Yeah. It's all a rebrand. Yeah, but I think they're just finally like, they have the stadium, they have the infrastructure, they have the fandom, they have more of the players. And I think now they're really able to do what they want to do. And a player like Ozzie Alonso and Icapara or whatever, they're massive to speeding that timeline up, especially in the defense that they're just learning about this year.
For sure.
All right. And you also, write for The Athletic. So what has The Athletic meant to you, meant to Minnesota, and the opportunity to, I know writing about soccer is not an easy job to get, right?
So
it's a big
or
deal.
Keep,
yeah. Hopefully they like you in here.
I hope so.
But what does it mean to you to have that gig and be able to, be able to have the resources that you have and what, how does it just feel having that opportunity?
It doesn't feel real. I mean, it really doesn't. Like, my degree's in playwriting, which is a joke. And
okay.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah, no, I'm so fast too.
Yeah. So it was this or Applebee's, right?
Yeah, really, honestly, I go back and forth on the weekend. Yeah, it's terrible. Next Friday. No, seriously, Half Price Apps do it.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't feel like it's a job that should exist. And I think, I mean, you'll probably feel like the same way too. Like, people are listening, people are showing up, people are making hats, dope hats, get one.
Yeah.
And get a shirt too, because, like, these are great, do it. But Dustin is smiling like I'm his kid, and this is great.
He's only doing this for the plugs.
Yeah,
so,
really. Yeah. Those plugs, got it.
Yeah.
Honestly, like seeing it grow in Minnesota, in the United States, in Canada, like it's amazing. It doesn't feel like this. Like thinking back, like 15, 20 years, or whatever, it doesn't feel like this would have ever happened, right? Like
Not at all.
That people like us would be able to do any sort of legitimate media coverage of soccer that is played in this country.
Yeah.
10 years ago, years ago,
people
honestly.
Like us, just three just white like men just being successful.
Just three straight white men.
I feel very pale right now, by the way.
You
very
could say,
pale.
You would say that in Ireland, though. You are very white.
That's right. It goes right to the heart. I actually do have a question for you guys, though.
No, nice. Go for it. Yeah.
So it's a little bit...
Did perfect. Someone email you a question?
Yeah, no, this question comes from actually. No, it's perfect that you're in Minnesota for this because I think, if I remember right, the first MLS franchise to use the word gully in a tweet was Minnesota United FC.
That is correct.
Minnesota United FC.
So the response, this is less than a month ago, we're just trying to keep it as gully as possible.
That was from Minnesota United. Yeah,
that was Minnesota United responding to us, which was insanity. A team used gully. I mean, most teams just try to ignore the fact that we're alive.
Was this during like the week you met AOC and like that was the peak of your life and now it's all over?
No.
Or like, no. What's that timeline look like to you?
This kept the plate spinning. I mean, when we saw that, I think I took a screen cap and sent it to you. He's like, I saw it already.
Literally. Like, I mean, it was Christmas morning. It was incredible. No, because sometimes, you know, team social media accounts can come off as like dad trying to be cool, you know? But the way it was used was, I was
perfect.
Like, yeah, it was used perfectly where I'm like, this guy, whoever tweets, whoever, man
Do
or woman.
Do you want to play a game, actually? Guess the demographic of the MNUFC Twitter guy. Just guess.
I'm going to say closer to you than us.
But I know for sure he does not have children because that was very
correct.
Cool.
Yeah,
it was super cool. Like whenever like teams, because there's a thing like teams only recently, remember when Los Angeles Galaxy did that sort of shooting into the star gif of, I think it was a
Pachara.
They got in trouble for that. And it reminded me of when SNL tried to take down that Lazy Sunday sketch that was kind of blowing up on the internet. And they had never put anything up on YouTube before. And every time they would take it down, someone else would put it up.
Right.
Someone along the line has to go, wait, like, oh, wait, this is what people want? Then we should do that. And, like, seeing that is like, oh, okay. They're interacting with us. They're using our terminology with us. Like, we're not against the league. We're trying to help. You know what I mean? So that was, like, a sign of, like, okay, we've broken some barriers.
And you know
what I mean?
Fun fact, by the way, those YouTube accounts that kept cropping up with Lazy Sunday, now they're all pro-rel activists. Yeah. And they're making new Twitter accounts, new Reddit accounts, whatever. They're just like, this is it, man.
Buy stock in tinfoil hats, because if there's more of them popping up, oh, boy. We get that every week.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us, man. This has been
great. Where can everyone follow you?
On Twitter at Jeff Reuter, R-U-E-T-E-R, and at The Athletic, where there's still more news coming soon, and I do still write for them, despite all the other stuff you've been seeing, so stay tuned with that. And thank you for subscribing if you do, and if you don't, thank you for using your friend's login. Appreciate it.
Sweet. I'm hanging for Jeff, everybody. Good
one more time, Jeff.
Oh, they want a discount code.
The fans are yelling for a discount code. Just use code Cooligans. You might not get anything, but they'll realize
they made a terrible mistake.
They should be working with us.
All right, another hand for Jeff, everybody. That was incredible. Thank you so much for joining us. All right, you want to bring up our next guest of honor?
This is, I mean, you know, when we said we wanted to have stars, we thought, well, we'll be there. but then we're like, let's have stars people know. And there was, we went to the ISA, the Independent Supporters Council, and we spoke to some of the folks from True North Elite and Dark Clouds. Shouts to them, we're all here.
Sam, Corey.
And we asked the three of them. We said, hey, we're thinking of doing an event in Minnesota. It was like right in like the sort of conceptual part. They said, hey, we want to interview somebody who... And before I got the word who out of my mouth, all three of them at the same time said Miguel Ibarra, okay? I was about to say Miguel Ibarra, but they didn't say that. they pronounced it Miguel Ibarra.
No, it's a little challenging rolling those R's for some people.
We were spitting on us trying to roll the R. But all three of them said that, and I knew he was a local hero. I knew he was a Minnesota soccer legend. I had no idea that the fans were as connected and as proud of where he's been and the fact that he's back and all of that. So we're really excited that we actually got that player. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Miguel Ibarra, everybody.
Miguel Ibarra, give him a hand.
Miguel Ibarra.
Yo, you get one R, bro.
Come on in.
Brother Mike. Cheers, dude. Have a seat, man. How's it going, man?
Good, good. Enjoying these leather.
Okay,
enjoying
cool.
the weather. Yeah, this is getting a little closer to the weather you grew up with, right? How does it feel? How far into Southern California did you grow up?
I'm 45 minutes north from LA.
Okay, so that's still considered Southern California, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so totally different area, totally different weather, right? Totally different culture up here. How does it feel to the fact that, I'm not sure how long you were playing here, we could talk about that, but like the fans just are enthralled with you. You're like a legend. Like you are, you're just this part, like you're the cornerstone of the stadium to some of these folks. How does that feel, you know, a kid from Southern California to just be beloved out here?
Oh, I mean, I was born in California, but this is home for me now.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. There's that media training.
Oh, I didn't show you the tattoo of Minnesota I got on my arm. Oh, my bad.
The artist formerly known as Prince, all on my back. He was like, I remember as a young boy, abuela making Juicy Lucy in Southern California in preparation for my future home.
Oh my goodness. No, dude. Obviously the Allianz Field opening, and it was unfortunate you didn't get to play in the game. But why, just a quick recap, what was that feeling for you? You were walking around the stadium. Everybody was just dapping you up. Everybody loved you. What was it like kind of having to witness it, but what was it like getting to see that stadium open that first day?
Dream come true. I mean, when I first started, it was 800 fans in the stands in Blaine, so from going there to what it is now, still selling out every single weekend. Yeah. I mean, amazing having their own specific stadium, grass, since we hate turf. yeah, it was just a dream come true, just still surreal.
All right.
It's wild walking around the stadium, and it was funny because we randomly walked into you and one of the media guys, and it seems like the moment one person recognized you, people were snapping photos like paparazzi as you're walking by. And I want to know what it felt like for you to walk through it. Like, are you like, you know, we should do a taco stand here? Like, are you trying to make suggestions?
No. I knew I wasn't going to play, so my thing that I told Durkee, which is the media guy, I brought jerseys for me. I want to go and pick out random fans and give them to them and take a look at the whole stadium. I wanted to see how it looked when it was packed.
Nice. All right. Are you how bad are you itching to get out there? And, like, you know, Ozzy Alonso scored a goal, right? We got a Cubano scoring the first goal. Right, not bad. All right, do it for Cuba. Okay. Right? That's one person gets to come here for free now, right? That's how it works. We got a Cuban gets to defect now every time we score a goal. But you got to see that. How bad do you want to get out there, like, and score a goal? How bad do you just want to get out there and just be a part of it?
Oh, I can't wait to be out there.
Yeah.
I mean, just playing the atmosphere, talking to the players. I mean, who else would it be if out of everybody, Ozzy would score the first goal? Yeah, he just told me it was amazing. And I told Francisco Calvo too. He says, playing from TCF to where we're at now, this is a whole different thing now. So, yeah, I just can't wait to go out there. Probably next Wednesday when we play at home again.
Okay.
Okay.
And now that there are some newer players, do you have to, like, you know, sit them down and be like, yo, all right, things weren't like this back in my day. Yeah. All right, little whippersnapper. Yeah,
you put a little water. We used to have drips from pipes in our home. You sit on the ground. You're not allowed to have a seat.
You know, because you're more like the mayor of Minnesota United more than anything. Like, you know, do you have to, like, show them the ropes a little bit more? Like, but in a serious way, like, when people do get here, I mean, I'm sure people look to you to, like, for a little bit of the direction of how to settle in into the cities.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, when Darwin got here, for example, the first person he came up to was me. Had to show him around, tell him where to live, where is it good for his family. It's stuff like that. I mean, Ozzy, when he first got here as well, he connected right away with me. Obviously, I can't tell him that pipes were coming from. He has a different story.
Yeah, he's a very, Cubans are much more, emotional people. We don't deal well with hazing.
Yeah, it just triggers PTSD. Yeah, it's a different thing. Yeah.
We were all beat as children. It's very different. Okay.
But yeah, every time we get new players, I always try to help them, make them feel comfortable, part of the family.
See, that's so different than you hear, like, everyone else is like, we haze them, we do this. It's so Minnesota to be like, no, we show them where stuff is. And I'm like, I guess that's cool. Fine. So you don't steal their shoes. Awesome. Everything's different here. When you started, you said 800 people in the stands. And when I first heard your name, I heard your name before, but when I first really remember, like, oh, my God, that's Miguel Ibarra, is when you got picked for the men's national team from NASL. That moment for you, did you think you were getting pranked when you got the call? Like, what was that moment? You're like, that's it, Christian, no more. And Jurgen's like, hello, what do you mean? You know, like, for you, what did that mean from that moment? And what do you think that meant to everyone else who played on Minnesota United and NASL teams? Like, talk to me a little bit about that moment.
Yeah, I actually did think it was a prank. Christian was right next to me. We were in the car coming out of Chipotle.
Nice. Good yeah, Mexican restaurants they have out here.
So I get a phone call, random number, answer it, I put it on speaker, and it was someone talking German, English German. And I look at Christian and I say, somebody's messing with me.
He's a bad accent. Yeah.
If you call here one more time, I swear to God, it's your head.
And then he says, it's Jurgen Klinsmann. Would you like? I wanted to ask you if you wanted to play for the U.S. men's national team.
So you crashed the car.
I paused for a quick minute, looked at Christian. He was like, answer. Like,
yeah.
You paused because you were in shock. Not should I?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do I wanna?
Asking for permission.
Yeah. I mean, playing in ASL, I didn't think it was something that can happen. And sure enough, it was him. And next thing you know, he calls me in and talks to me. He says, we sent a couple of scouts already. They've been watching you play a couple games, and we really think you deserve to be in the national team. Right after that, I went to national team, came back, and players from other teams were telling me that, thank you for representing NASL.
That's so awesome.
I mean, it was a dream come true after that.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful.
I remember when it happened. I remember it was the same year that Jordan Morris got picked out of college. I was like, man, Jurgen's looking everywhere. Remember when it was just like their favorite players from MLS were the people who were getting up there? And when you got on, it was amazing. And then that gave you a chance to go to Mexico. Is your family lineage mostly, are you Mexican American?
Yes.
Okay, so how did that feel to go to play in León?
Oh, yes. I mean, I watched Liga MX with my dad all the time. So going there and knowing that Chapo Montes was going to be my teammate, Uli Peña, Gallito Vasquez. Those were all players that I had seen play since I was little. So now actually calling them my teammates was like kind of surreal kind of thing. I had just seen them watch some of them play in the World Cup. So now being part of the team was amazing. And just playing in Mexico for me, for my dad, was a dream come true.
You're the first person to be excited to go anywhere near someone named Chapo, by the way. I'm going to Mexico to meet Chapo. They're like, well, it was good knowing you.
I'm actually curious how you feel about a lot of Mexican-American, like, dual nationals. And you know, there is that choice of whether to play for Mexico or, you know, if you're getting interest from both countries. How do you feel about, we're not necessarily mad at Mexican-Americans that choose to play for Mexico or choose to play for whatever country, but there is sometimes, it does feel like from U.S. soccer, when it comes to scouting and building connections and building relationships with those Mexican-American players, that they kind of drop the ball there when it comes to making sure that they at least have an opportunity to get them to play for the U.S. So how do you feel about making that choice and how U.S. soccer handles it?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously you see all the time, fans always saying that Mexican Americans don't really get a chance to play. I think now you can kind of see it more. It's starting to grow a little bit. But for me, it was at the same time we had Miguel Herrera had contacted me the same exact time that Jurgen did.
Yeah.
And he asked me if I was interested in play for Mexico. I had already, went to camp with national team, with the U.S. national team, with Jurgen. And I obviously had to tell, I told Miguel Herrera that I already had made a decision to play for the national team, with the U.S. men's national team. And that was all because I liked how Jurgen talked to me. He gave me the confidence all the time. And I was really grateful that he gave me that opportunity. So I decided to stick with the U.S.
All right, amazing.
It could be tough, though, right? Especially if you come from a house that watched Liga MX, and, you know, there's still that connection. Like, you know, when Jonathan Gonzalez picked Mexico versus U.S., a lot of talk was about the lack of, you know, or Mexican-American or Latin-American scouts. I think at the time only Thomas Roningen, who I think is a Scandinavian or something. I'm not sure what he is, but he's the scout. So it's a really tall white guy, wears like bow ties. You know what I mean? Let's just say if he knocked on my door as a kid, my mother wouldn't let him in. You know? I don't know who you are. I'm not letting you talk to my son. You're wearing a bow tie. You know what I mean?
The Mormons are here again.
Hide behind the couch. I don't know if you know how Latinos do. We pretend we're not home with the Mormons ring. But it sort of creates a divide. Later on, after you retire in 15, 20 years, okay, because I'm sure you're going to keep scoring goals, do you see yourself as someone you want to coach, maybe scout? What do you think would be something you'd like to do? What maybe work for the U.S. men's, like U.S. soccer?
Yeah, for me, my number one thing that I want to do when I retire is probably scout. Go out there, scout young kids, give them the opportunity. I have a player that is playing now with our affiliate team, which they call him Pato. He was playing in Atlas.
Okay.
He came back to the U.S. because he wanted to be with his family, but had no connections. So I talked to him and I told him, I can get you to this team. So I forwarded him to the coach at Forward Madison, and now he's there and they love him.
Oh,
so
nice.
Now he's getting an opportunity there, and I told him if he keeps working, maybe they'll see him over here.
This is how great U.S. soccer is and how small the community is, that he's just like, yo, I know a guy.
I got you. The hookup. Oh, what you need? I got you. Follow me. Let's go talk to Chapo. No, I don't need it anymore. Now we're good. I found it.
It's just incredible. I had one question about the making the choice between Mexico, like your family knowing that you had the opportunity to play for Mexico and you chose to play for U.S. soccer. Is that a thing that, like, well, I got to sit dad down and let him know that what choice I made? Like, is what I'm sure they're
obviously. He's just wearing his N3 jersey. He's like, you have something to say to me, son?
I'm, like, curious about that emotional pressure and then the pressure from your family to kind of support what they supported. Was that a conversation that you had to have with your family? Or were you like, you know, mom, dad, this is what I'm doing with my life, you know?
No, not at all. My dad.
You had to come out as an American.
You need to accept me as I am.
What do you mean you don't love me anymore?
You know what? Put down the torta. I want a hot dog.
It's called a sandwich, Dad.
Oh my God.
You're not our son. I knew there was a question there. I'm sorry. Miguel looked at me like, am I supposed to talk now?
Were they okay with your choice? Were they supportive?
Yeah, my dad was supportive. He said it was up to me. He'll leave it up to me. He said when we play Mexico, he's going for Mexico.
Okay. Okay, but every other game, U.S. All right, that's great.
They're like, his ankles are weak. I know him. He's my son. One of the things that I love watching you play is, I mean, everyone in the beginning would talk about your pace. You're fast. But you're also, like, now we get to see how more technical you are. We get to see a little bit more of, like, spacing, especially watching you week after week now that you're in MLS. What do you think about, like, what does it say to people? Because, like, soccer is the only sport where someone smaller stature, shorter, can play. It doesn't matter. But you have a lot more to earn out there, especially American soccer, especially in NASL, an extremely physical league. How does it feel to sort of represent that for some of those players? And how hard is it to sort of make your rounds when you're playing against some of these, like, ogres? I mean, Dustin used to play, the guy who owns the shop. You could see him. He's a huge man. Okay? You know what I mean? I thought he was a goalkeeper. How does it feel, you know, a player that's a little bit smaller, but in MLS and in American soccer, that's starting to become a bit more like they're starting to understand it's not just about speed, it's not just about physicality?
Yeah, at the beginning, I would always hear American soccer is all about just athleticism. If you're big, if you're strong, and I knew I wasn't none of them. So they first told me, they said, you're not big enough, you're not tall enough. All the time I heard it in college, everywhere. So now I've played with guys that are even shorter than me, which is Darwin, Maxi Morales. I played with Maxine Leon. And those two guys you can't push them off the ball. They play like they're 6 foot something. And then now when they talk about me, I'm just always, oh, you're too small, you're too not strong enough. I always tell them, well, what Darwin always says, it says, show me how you play with your feet instead of talking. So that's something that I've always, and I always think about, hard work is always going to beat anything in the field.
That's awesome. I mean, who on the team, you mentioned Darwin and Ozzy a couple times, who on the team has had the biggest effect on the culture of the team and how they play? Because, you know, when Minnesota started, you would see, like, you and Christian, I think, were the ones that we were sort of recognizing the most in the way you guys. So once the ball got in the final third, that's where, like, the Minnesota United way was for us. Like, that's it. Look at the two of these guys playing together. But now it seems like you got Darwin, you got Ozzy in the back. Energy's a little different. The attitude's a little different. Who's had the biggest effect on the team?
I think this year's Ozzy.
Yeah.
Once he came out, he changed the whole attitude for the team.
He's just making cafecitos for everybody. He's like, yeah, we're going to go out there with speed and energy. You're all going to be lit on this coffee.
Yeah, that guy doesn't lose. He does not like to lose. I mean, you beat him at something, you better go hide or something. Because
I will say, you cannot shake him when he's on the field. Nothing scares him. I managed to scare the life out of him.
So this happened. This is a quick story. When we were in, at MLS Cup in Toronto, when it was Toronto and Seattle.
When they won on penalties.
They won on penalties. And Alexis, we both sort of snuck on the field when we
parked. Weren't allowed. Like, our press pass legitimately said, like, not allowed on the field. And we walked on the field. And those Canadians did not stop us.
So it was a fun moment, but, you know, they were celebrating with the trophy. We saw Ozzy Alonso, Alexis.
We talked to Drew Carey. We were just in the state, they were holding up the trophy. We were there. We're in the photos. We were not supposed to be.
Ridiculous.
But I wanted to speak to Ozzy Alonso. I'm Cuban, just the fact that a Cuban is playing soccer, which, like, when I was a kid, I told my grandfather I wanted to play soccer. He laughed. You know, he was like, no, we're Cuban. He's like, and you're fat. That's not a sport.
There's so many.
He's like, baseball. You can be fat in baseball. You know, he's like, look at the TV. They're not even running. It's perfect. I'm not kidding. Like, that all truly happened. Like, so for us, like, seeing a Cuban guy play soccer and with, like, then leading the team and being, like, an emotional leader was huge. So I saw him. His head was turned, like, he was walking away, and I'm like, yo, that's Ozzy. He was walking with his wife, and I was like, Ozzy, Ozzy, and he wasn't turning around. So I just went the most Cuban I could, and I was like, oh, yeah, coño, Ozzy, and he turned around, and I was like, se murió Fidel, which I don't know if you guys can translate that. I just said, Fidel Castro died,
yeah,
which for Cubans is, like, the biggest moment ever. You know, it's what we've all waited for.
Ozzy is celebrating an MLS Cup championship.
And here comes a guy in a, like, a parka. You can't see my face. And I'm yelling, Fidel Castro is dead, baby.
He was. I've never seen anyone more baffled by another human being.
His wife is laughing the whole time. And I'm slapping him in the chest. I'm like, you won an MLS Cup. Fidel's dead. I go, here come the Cubans, baby. I'm like, we got this all in Spanish. And he's like, uh-huh. And then he's got a camera. We all have video of this. He's got a camera. And he thought we were about to take a picture. So Ozzy gives us a thumbs up. And I was like, Fidel's dead. I didn't stop. And we didn't really take a picture. That was the only moment I've ever seen him kind of scared. And his wife was like, I think it's time to go. And he was like, thank you.
So next time you see him, just ask him if he remembers somebody saying that.
Well, maybe we'll send you the video, actually.
In general, especially speaking about the culture of Minnesota United, I know I'm going to go on a limb and say your best friend was traded. Christian Ramirez is now in LAFC. Can you talk a little bit about, I'm sure a lot of people here know, we do not. I see the tweets between you two, right? I see the tweet. I see the Instagram comments. You guys still roasting each other. So clearly there's a lot of love, and I know that you are very proud of him and supportive of the move. But what did his move mean to you, and what did that friendship mean for you two while at Minnesota United?
Miguel was like, finally, I can shine. Get out of here. It's Batman's time.
No, obviously, the one reason I came back was because he wanted to do a return kind of thing and play together in MLS, because that was one of our dream goals to accomplish. So I came back to play with him, and then next thing you know, he's traded. We were actually celebrating a birthday, I believe, at someone's house, and then he got the phone call, so he had to leave right away.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, the next day, he told me that he was happy, but he didn't know it was going to hurt him that much, because this was like his home now. So him going back to LAFC, happy because he was going to be next to his family and everybody. But at the same time, he was leaving home. So that kind of like, you know, it was a better for him. He wanted, he wasn't really happy here anymore. And going to LFC, he thought he would have a better opportunity to get more playing time and give back to his game. So, and still to talking now, he still talks about returning. So,
okay.
Yeah, there's, you know, the one thing I notice, and we go to a lot of different MLS cities and we do this, and this isn't the only place, but one of the places where, and I we also see it in Portland, there's a different connection between the players and the fans here. It's like there's a, like even when just you walked in, people are like, hey, what's up, Miguel? Like they know you. You know what I mean? Like it's a very different connection. And I think it's probably mostly you and Christian that have that. I'm sure there's other players, but it seems like the two of you have this connection with the fans where like they've seen you, like they've known you since you were kids almost. They're like, hey, look at you. You're getting more hair on your chin. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
they're rubbing your head. Yeah.
Hey, oh, Miguelito. Yeah. It's a very different, like they have this like bond with you. They're like friends almost more than they are fans. And I think it's all the teams that came from the lower leagues up. You know what I mean? Like they had, when they were in the lower leagues, you had a better connection with the fans than sometimes you get in MLS, which is very separated. You still have that. So to play here, it's so funny to hear you call this home, 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 but it does make sense. Like this is where you, people know you and this is your cheers. Like everyone knows your name and everyone knows and they're glad you came, unlike us. They're like, please leave. You know? that's something so different. So did you get a sense of that at all when you were at Leon? It's very different there, right?
Oh, very different. I did not think, I went to the hotel. I decided to walk from the hotel to the stadium thinking I was going to be okay.
Yeah. No, bad idea. Not the case.
No.
Yeah.
Once I walk out, I had hundreds of people. I couldn't walk anymore around me. So they had to bring security guards. And they told me, they gave me the whole speech not to walk around the streets. Got to be always in a car, take a taxi.
Yeah.
So it's so different over there. Over there, you can't have the bond that you're able to have with the fans here.
Yeah, I mean, even an event like this, if we did this anywhere else, just the concept of comedians talking to soccer players in this intimate setting, like anywhere else, you would have attacked all of us right now. Like, you literally would have been on top of us. It's incredibly unique. And hearing things like that, like, were you afraid for your life? Was it one of those things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to mix words. Yeah, the answer is yes. Yeah. It's so different. It's like soccer is so different. And that's one of the things that I love about American soccer is we get the chance to build our own culture here. Like, we don't have to go crazy like in Europe where, you know, you think you're going to get sliced in the face, you know, for walking out wearing a different team jersey, or the players are afraid to go to their cars after a bad game. Like, definitely don't want that here. So we can build our own culture. And I think it's folks like you, guys like you, players like you that have just a pretty good heart. You know what I mean? And you just want to have these great connections with the fans. You're part of that. You know, that's not a question. I'm telling you. You know what I mean? You don't have to respond. What's something that you hope for, you know, coming forward, whether it's personally or for the team?
Oh, for me, probably just bring a championship to Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the next goal.
Yeah. We were hoping you guys would clap.
Yeah. Only one person wanted it. Yeah.
Everyone's like, we don't need a championship. I guess we're fine. We have you, and that's all that matters.
How does it feel seeing Christian in the U.S. men's national team and getting minutes and getting a couple goals and things like that? How do you feel? I'm sure you guys have talked about it. How does he feel about all that that's going on?
Oh, that's a dream come true for me as well. Yeah, yeah. When I got called in, Jurgen also spoke to him and said, keep doing what you're doing. We're watching you as well. So ever since then, he's been in the look. And then now his hard work has paid off and he's doing well.
Awesome.
What do you think is, if you could play any position and you could do anything you want, what do you think you're best at? Coach ain't here, bruh.
I think I just bring hard work defensively and offensively. I'm never going to give up on a play.
Okay.
That's a very good political answer. Because you know in your head, you're like, I want to score them goals. My God. I deserve the spotlight.
you have a couple goals this season so far, but what is it going to mean to you? How is it going to feel? What any particular ideas for a celebration for a goal at Allianz Field?
Oh, yeah, we do. It's a dance with Abu.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah.
You guys will see it when we score.
Okay.
Nice. You already got that prepped? I like that.
So speaking of dancing, I know you had been asked this question, but Darwin is a very, very interesting dancer. That's the best way to put it. Clearly, he's having fun. He does sort of the Ellen from Seinfeld. Yeah. You know, like he goes a little crazy with his dancing. Is there anything?
Ellen.
What's her name again?
Elaine.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Misspoke. Anyway.
Yeah. You just pulled an Alexis.
She does the Ellen DeGeneres from Seinfeld.
You guys know Ellen DeGeneres from Seinfeld, right? Favorite show.
Do players mock him a little bit for that? Or is he too good to mock when it comes to that stuff?
No, because the reason why he does it is because he has two kids and his wife, and they each get to pick a dance that he does every time he scores.
I feel like he's doing the dances wrong. Yeah. Is that just me? I don't know.
His kids at home, like, that's not what I suggested.
I don't know what you're doing out
there. My hands are clean. All right, that wasn't me. I don't know what he's doing.
He has been called out by his kids. Okay, you did it wrong. You did it wrong.
Yeah. We got to find a way to send a message to Darwin Quintero's family. Someone pick twerking, please. Just someone pick a twerk. Let's make a pun.
Well, no, Kai Kamara.
He twerked.
He twerked, but he got
in trouble.
And got a yellow card because of it.
Because it was too good. You know what I mean? The guy gave it to him like this.
it was raining yellow cards.
It came now.
Oh my God, this show's so stupid.
Remember when we told you we're comedians and we don't take anything seriously? Have you ever had another interview like this? This is the first one. You answer that too fast. I'm sorry, we're not a drunk, bald British guy who's never heard of the team before. I'm getting paid too much by MLS.
Anyway, nothing, you know, we have no issues. I was going to ask something, but you made me forget.
Sorry, that's kind of what I do. Look, the team is playing really well this year. Last year, a bit of a couple struggles. Clearly, they're like, just wait for the stadium. You know what I mean? But the team is playing much better. It's starting to sort of gel and mold. We talked a little bit about, Jeff, about like what the system is. What's the process? If you could give the fans of Minnesota sort of like an idea, what do you think the system is?
At least an identity going forward.
Exactly.
You know?
What is Minnesota United football, soccer? What is that?
I think, obviously, the past 2 years, we've been the team that gets scored on the most in the league. So one of the things that we wanted to do this year is let's just not get scored on anymore. Yeah.
Sean Johnson helped you with that to lift up the...
Like, you know, I feel bad.
Sean Johnson's like, how about I help a little bit? You know what I mean? Roll that joint in myself.
So, yeah, I mean, just defensively, let's just keep the clean sheet. And we're either going to get a point out of the game or we get a win. Offensively, we know we have the players to make it happen.
What is the effect of Darwin on the team as far as chemistry? I mean, watching him play is just incredible. I mean, I feel like, especially last year, he was just chipping everybody. Like, they just the balls on this guy to do that stuff. But what has he meant to the chemistry of the team and just your play? Because I know this happens a lot when big-time DPs arrive, like Rooney in D.C. You see that every other player is like, yo, we want to play better for Rooney. So what has been the effect of Quintero?
I think for me, he helped me, my confidence boost way up after he came. He saw me play from the stands the first game when he went to go watch us. Right away after the game, he says, you're the best player on the team. You just got to work on some stuff. And he gave me the advice that he told me. And after that, hearing him say that just made me think and say, I can do way more than what I'm doing. And I think that's what helped me have a good season last year. And then this year he came up in preseason and told me, okay, so we had half a year last year. Now we have a whole year to do it even better. So after that, it's just he's always looking the positives. He's told Abu he can be the top scorer in the league if he stays healthy and stays on top of little things. So he's always helping to push players to their limits.
That's amazing. I feel like, when Miguel's in contract negotiations, he's like, well, I'm the best player on this team, according to
heard.
The... So yeah. I feel like I should be paid for it.
I'd like to play an audio clip for you of Darwin Quintero. When you go out with some of the other players, I'm sure we've heard from other players, like one person pays when they pick the restaurant, then you go on and it's like sort of like rotation. What are some places that you like to go? Is there good Mexican food here? What are some of the spots? I heard yes and no from the audience. What are some places that you like to go? What are some things that you do that remind you of your first home? I know Minnesota is not your home, but what are some of the things that you like to do out here that remind you of Southern California?
Probably the Juicy Lucy's.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first time I came here, that's what they told me to try.
Yeah.
So every time I hear that, it reminds me of the first day I came.
Oh, that's pretty dope. Is there good Mexican food here?
Wow. What? I've never heard more of an answer in silence than anything.
That you guys just witnessed a live Yelp review. And the customer was not happy. But is there markets and stuff where you can get some of the stuff to make it home?
Yeah, there is. And there is a Mexican restaurant. It's called Los Ocampos.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
There is a Mexican restaurant. We gotta work on it when it's a. We got to get some options. That's pretty dope. I mean, look, it looks like a great place to live. I mean, Juicy Lucy's, we had our first ones last night at a place called Blue Door. Great suggestion, whoever it is that suggested it. I was a little drunk when they told me to go there. It was pretty incredible. I was like, what, you put cheese in the burger? Ooh, it's so special. It's actually really good. I'm not going to complain. It's pretty dope. It just seems like you guys have such a great bond. I mean, not just with the player, not just with the fans, but with each other, with the players. Like, the team all seems to get along. Is there one person nobody likes? Are you going to answer that? Can I get you to answer
one
that?
One person.
You might actually answer that.
I don't think there is one.
Okay, there you go. That's a good answer.
And being a part of this community, I know sometimes we travel. We are Latino. I'm Dominican. He's Cuban. What has been the experience for you in Minnesota, and maybe a place that maybe you know what? I'll give credit to Minnesota a lot. I didn't know exactly how diverse Minnesota actually was. It's just been really, really incredible. But what has that just almost living here? What has been the experience for you just outside of being a soccer player? Do you feel you know? I thought it'd be very different from Southern California, but do you feel welcome? Do you feel at home? Is it just a diverse enough and fun sort of experience for you here?
Yeah. Are they too nice here?
Are they too nice here?
It could happen.
They are really nice here. Actually, coming from LA, this is different. It's kind of more Hollywood over there, so everybody's a little bit more cocky. And,
yeah.
Okay.
And then I came here, and everybody's nice. They open the door, good morning, nice to meet you. I mean, once I came here, it was like a whole different. I was in shock because I was used to different, and then I came here, and everybody's so nice. They made me feel like I was at home, so welcoming, and I mean, it hasn't changed at all. I've been here for 6 years, and it's still the same.
Yeah, dude, people are so nice. I feel like I'm getting scammed. I'm like, I don't trust you.
They're up to something.
Yeah. Oh, you want to know how I'm doing? Why? What's in it for you? I was telling him a story. Like, I got to the airport, and I was like, I pulled up the Uber so it gets there. You know, it's like, takes like 7 minutes from wherever they're parked to get to where I'm at. And I was like, oh, let me go to the bathroom. I asked the dude, I go, excuse me, where's the bathroom? A TSA agent. TSA agent in New York is like an angry mom at all times. Just like, don't talk to them, you know? And the guy was like, oh, you want to use the bathroom? Cool. Hey, I heard an accent. Where are you from? I'm like, yeah, I'm from New York. Where's the bathroom? And he was like, oh, okay. Well, there's two bathrooms. A really nice one, actually. I'm like, what are we doing? Point. Just tell me. Just point. You don't even have to get out of your seat. The guy got out of his seat. He put his arm around me. I'm like, what is happening? I'm getting back on the plane. I got yelled at by the pilot. That's the way I like it. You know what I mean? It was too much. It's just sometimes too nice.
How do you find any way to stay and eat healthy in this very fried state?
This cheese-filled this city cheese- of yours.
Everything is right. How do you find a way to like
how do you keep that figure?
Yeah, because you are fit.
Yeah. The only time my jacket looks like that is when it's on the hanger. Like, you've got divots. Mine sticks out.
No, I think it's more about being disciplined. I mean, we obviously, they give us food at the training facilities, so we eat there, and then we take care of our dinner. So just making sure we're eating healthy. And then, I mean, the off season, that's what it's for. You just go eat whatever you want. Then
nice.
Your preseason, you come again and you're trying to get back to fit.
What do you do? Because sometimes when you practice, we talk to some other players and they have like some hobbies, like one or two of them, like in a real estate. Knaus is now a real estate agent. You know what I mean? Russell Knaus. Like, what's your, like, do you have a hobby? Do you have something you like to do once training is over?
Fortnite. Hello.
All right. You on Twitch, dog?
Somebody got your Xbox gamer tag, yo.
No, we actually do play Fortnite.
Okay. Yeah.
That's one of them over there.
All right.
Okay,
no doubt.
Very nice.
All right. You, I actually haven't played Fortnite.
My nephew.
I'm terrible at like first-person shooters and third-person shooters. Like these kids are too good. And then they're mean to you after they kill you.
Yeah, there's like a 12-year-old shooting you in the head and then making fun of you afterwards.
Like, how much can I tolerate that?
It's like, dog, if I was in front of you, you wouldn't say nothing.
Do you fight? Do you play like a lot? Are you really good at it?
No. Okay. I'm terrible. He can.
Okay.
What about FIFA?
I do play FIFA as well. Not as much as Fortnite.
Okay. Yeah, it's not like you're a professional soccer player or anything. Let me see. Are you in the game Fortnite? No. Are you in the game FIFA? Yeah, you are. If I was in FIFA, I'd never stop playing as myself. Are you kidding me? 1,000 goals? Yeah, I shut off everybody else. You know what I mean?
No, I love to watch basketball. So that's what I basically always do.
Very nice.
Okay. Big Timberwolves guy?
Lakers.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're Knicks fans. We don't know what it's like to win. So. Yeah, what, you're supposed to win more than 10 a season? Why? How do you not get a great draft pick that injures themselves immediately after being picked?
So it's called the winning strategy.
Yeah, no, we got a plan. It's a 75-year plan. Mostly it being embarrassed. Big Laker fan. Do you ever get a chance to go to some of the games?
Yes, against the Timberwolves.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah. And you're just like, go Timberwolves. I mean, go Lakers.
No, the owner has seats, so he always, every time the Lakers come, he makes sure I'm the one that gets them, because that's the only game
okay.
I would want to go to, yeah.
That's really cool. That's awesome that you get to at least follow a different sport. Are you friends with any of the Timberwolves or any of the Lakers?
No, just recently met Derrick Rose.
Oh, very
so
cool.
Right, really. His story, just because of his whole story, him coming back this year after those knee injuries. So basically wanted to meet him and then gave him a jersey. And I mean, great guy.
A lot of, it seems like the NBA is like falling in love with soccer. Like NBA stars are trading jerseys after the game.
Appropriating our culture.
Right? They're taking what we do.
That's our thing. Yeah.
Right? I mean, the Knicks, thank God they don't have our culture. We get relegated. That would be tough. Just playing at a local high school at this point. But how does that feel seeing like the rest of like NFL players are stealing a little bit of soccer culture, like Ronaldinho's hanging out at like Golden State Warrior games. How does that feel seeing like the worlds collide? Because I'm sure when you started playing soccer, it was similar to like when we started watching it and you tell someone you're a soccer fan, they're like, what? You know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think soccer is growing a lot here in America. I mean, at the beginning you were like soccer, like, okay, basketball, football and everything was, those were the sports. And I think now soccer is starting to get to that level. I think eventually it's going to get even to Mexico, Europe level. So really happy and seeing how it's growing. It's amazing.
But are you fine with like the fact that you can walk down the street and nobody's bothering you, or is it part of you feel like, you know, when I was in Mexico, I couldn't even really walk down the street.
I know. You know what would make this mall cooler? If I was getting bombarded. You know?
Like, do you miss any of that, or do you want American soccer culture to be a little bit that fanatic?
No, I absolutely love it just like that. I mean, Darwin came and he was shocked when he was able to just go with his family and actually have a meal.
Yeah, he doesn't have to have armed guards around his kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so him just having a peace dinner with his family, that was caught him off guard, and he was happy. He says, I would love to be here forever, retire here. He's like, he wasn't able to do that in Mexico at all.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah.
There's sort of that the balance, right? Because American soccer players, yeah, they don't have to deal with that kind of pressure, but they're not paid as well as the players in other leagues. Is there like people that are you like in that place of like, oh, I would take a little bit more money for a little bit more of that stress? Or is this like kind of the perfect environment of just like being able to live a peaceful life and be able to do the job that you love?
Yeah, I think like you say, being able to be peaceful and just playing the sport you love, being with your family and everything would be the most important thing. But I also think like in Mexico and Europe and all, I think that relegation is the other thing that pushes the fans. Kind of, they don't want to get relegated.
Yeah.
So that pushes them to be hard on the players and et cetera. And obviously we don't have relegation here. So I think now how soccer is growing, I think maybe eventually it's going to get a little bit more intense with the players. But as of right now, I think everybody loves how it's going.
Okay.
Also, the league is changing, right? They're instituting more TAM, and they're bringing in players of a certain level from outside of the U.S. As a player who represents, you know, American soccer, and a player who represents coming up from the NASL days, when you see a big name coming in from Europe, not DP level, but TAM level, you got it in your head like, yo, I'm going to show him I'm better than that guy. You know, is that like in the back of your head a little bit? Even if it's not on your team, just so you can actually answer the question. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you have that little chip on your shoulder? Like, oh, we're giving him TAM? Like, watch what I could do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're always just trying to prove people wrong and always trying to work for the team. And I think, like you said, now they're bringing in players that are actually from other planes. Like, we had Almiron, who was a great player, one of the best ones, I think. And they're just going to keep coming. That's just an example. And I think that's just going to push us even more. Make sure we're on our toes and keep working hard.
And we should wrap up soon, but I'm curious. Were there any players that you like? You enjoyed playing against, or that you were like, you have this one marked in the calendar, or anybody that you play? I know Miguel Almiron is honestly one of the fastest human beings I've ever just seen. Is it like some of the time when you play against these guys, are you like, slow down a little bit, you know, like you just don't want to have to force to be, like, keep up with them and stuff like that. Is there anybody like sort of that you sort of focused on that you wanted to play against?
Well, like, Vela's getting a lot of stuff right now, right? His picture's up a lot on MLSsoccer.com. Are you like, watch what I'm going to do?
I mean, for me, the one that I was shocked with last year was Zlatan. I mean, I've seen him on TV, but then seeing him in person, you just, wow. Yeah. This guy is huge.
Yeah, he's huge. I said he was going to be a bust. I was wrong. I was way wrong.
Yeah, and just the stuff he does on the field. I mean, there's no way you can push him out of the way. Just how he plays, and, I mean, he scores goals for fun.
It is insane that him and Maxi Morales play the same sport. You know what I mean? They're just two different people. When we met David Villa, you know, David Villa, you see him in Champions League and you see him in La Liga and he's scoring all these goals. He's just bigger than life. When we met him, I'm like, well, move over, young man. David Villa is coming. You know, like, he's a small person. It's insane that him and, you know, Zlatan is like 6'4", like jacked, you know, just so amazing. They
Someone
play the
that
same
big
sport.
Shouldn't be able to move that well, right? No. That's like the main.
And he could kick so high. I'm like, thank God my head's not that tall.
That's amazing, man. Miguel Ibarra, this has just been incredible, dude.
Yeah, you were amazing.
Like we said, when we were in Dallas, everybody was like, "Oh, if you're gonna do a show, you got to do it with Miguel Ibarra." And I can just feel genuinely how much people love you. So this is just awesome. So thank you so much for joining us.
But you're not done, actually. We wanted to give you a gift. Do you know what the term gully means? You remember that from hip hop back in the day? Well, now you do. Okay. Gully just means like you prove people wrong, basically. Like, if somebody says you can't do something, nah, I'm gully. I'm going to show you I can do it. And you are the gulliest player in Minnesota. So we want to give you a Cooligan's hat.
Thank you.
Official.
Cheers, brother.
Stay gully.
So, guys, thank you so much for being here, welcoming us in Minnesota. This is, again, like, you know, we've never been here before, and the fact that you guys are here, I mean, this is our dream come true, man.
I want to say thank you to Corey, Sam, and Megan, who, when they saw us at ISC, we said we want to come out, and they were like, trust me, the fans will love you guys. And you were
and how wrong turns were out, they?
Turns out we love you guys. So thank you so much for making us feel welcome in your state. Thank you so much for coming to hang out. Don't forget to shop and buy.
Yes,
thank
and thank
you so
you,
much to Dustin and Bethany.
Dustin and Bethany, give them a hand for Talisman. These guys become the store. This shop has become just like a staple of Minnesota.
I mean, everyone in at the game, like one out of every three people, was wearing something Talisman. That was actually really cool to see. Yeah. So, shouts to you guys, but most importantly, shouts to us.
Shouts.
Thank you so much, guys.
Guys, cheers, guys. Thank you so much. Cheers.
I mean, what a day.
What an afternoon.
I mean, it
beautiful.
Just...
The weather was beautiful. We went into snowy weather. It was a damn blizzard out in Minnesota before the game, and then
we made it hot,
all right?
We melted that snow.
Okay. Temperature raised a few degrees. All okay? right. We were wiping our sweat, you know, during the entire our time in that whole day.
We made it steamy up in that, up in that store.
Okay, it was a sauna. So, yes, it was incredible. Thank you again, Jeff Ruder and Miguel Ibarra.
They were great, weren't they?
But they were just awesome.
Miguel is the damn best.
Yeah, man. People were telling me they were like getting a little bit emotional. hearing Miguel Ibarra talk about what Minnesota means to him, his friendship with Christian Ramirez.
Also just picking U.S. instead of Mexico. I mean, that is just a beautiful thing. And I didn't know Mexico had reached out to him.
That's right. He got a call from Piojo.
And it was like, yo, I might hang up on you right now because like my German homie's calling.
So that's it's a tough decision for Mexican American players, you know, and it's not about them making, there's not wrong or right choice.
No,
it is about U.S. soccer at least having a chance, because we know Mexico's, they're good, right? Yeah. We know that there's a good chance most Mexican American players would probably want to go play for Mexico, but to U.S. soccer should at the very least have a dog in that race.
Yeah, and they've got to make strides to make it it shouldn't have been not everyone is going to make the same decision Miguel did.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We should make it where it's a little bit of a harder decision for some of these other folks.
Exactly.
We should put out all the stops to keep some of the greatest players in America.
Yeah.
So, that's it. Thank you so much to Jeff Reuter. Sorry I got your name wrong, my guy. You misspell it for the way you want to pronounce it. Shouts to Miguel Ibarra. We're the only people who call you that. Everyone that says Miguel Ibarra. Nah, son, it's Miguel Ibarra.
Exactly. From a person who has two R's in their name.
That's right, Guerreros. Yeah. I know what it's like. I just let him say Guerreros, but you know, when someone pulls me up with the Alexis Guerreros, I'm like, oh boy.
Okay.
Ba-ba-da-ba-ba. Go on. Just honestly, shouts to everyone who was there. Shouts to anyone who helped. Shouts to everyone, but most importantly, shouts to us.
Shouts to us. Don't ever forget.
Don't let it get it twisted.
So thank you again, everybody. That's basically it. Make sure you subscribe to the show. Make sure if you're listening for the first time, give a subscription, leave a review on iTunes.
Five-star review.
If you listen on there. I don't think we can find it quick enough. There was a review that we got from another podcast app. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, that one's the best.
Did you save it?
I did save it, but I could give you the gist. The gist is very simple.
Go for it.
This guy said he doesn't have iTunes, so he left it on a different one, but he screen capped it and sent us a tweet so we would be able to see it.
Yes.
And he said that his wife is wondering why he's always listening to our show.
I got it. So he goes, it's from Andrew. I don't even know which app this is, but he goes, let me hold it up. So he goes, my wife's, quote, my wife's least favorite podcast. Hosts are, quote unquote, loud, quote, not funny at all, and have, quote, unpleasant voices. And then, quote, at least the nice English guy and hipster podcast is okay. Why don't I play that one instead? Okay.
And he still gave us 5 stars.
And we still got 5 stars. So thank you so much, Andrew.
So shouts to you. I think your wife clearly has great taste because she married you. Just not such great taste in podcasts. We'll forgive her for that.
Okay. I don't know.
Also shouts to Total Soccer Show, the English guy and the hipster.
Yes, which shout out to Ian, who is the guy who, remember, shouts to us.com.
Is owned by Ian, but he sends it to our website.
If you go to shouts to us.com, it goes to soccercooligans.com. But now if you go to English guy and hipster soccer show.com, that also goes to total soccer show.com,
which is, I think they should rebrand. You know, we talked last episode about Chicago rebrand.
Hey, so
total soccer show
seems like a good move. All right,
Ryan, come on, Tay.
Move total soccer show to Soldier Field.
There you go.
Get a, it'll be a boom,
or maybe Bridgeview. They got nothing going on in that building, you know.
So thank you so for that review, and feel free to leave your own wherever you listen to.
And if you do leave a review not on iTunes and you want us to read it on the show, if it's funny, we will send it to us. Send us a screen cap, tweet at us, baby. We want to see it.
Yeah, hilarious. So
thanks again. Don't forget to join Gully Squad. Everybody, go to Gully Squad. Go to soccercooligans.com/joingullysquad, or go to soccercooligans.com, or go to shoutstous.com, and Soccer Cooligans pops up and you can click Join Gully Squad. That means the absolute world to us, and it makes these extra episodes possible. Thank you for letting us take up time on your Friday,
or any other day you're listening
whatever
to.
Day you listen to it. Yeah.
So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerrero,
and together, what are we? The Cooligans.